He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the word of the ministry. So tonight, we're going to go with Ephesians 4, verse number 7. You got your Bibles with me? Open them up. Yeah. Verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. But tonight I want to talk to you out of verse number 7, where he says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, I'm so grateful for the grace of God. Amen. I thank God for the unmerited favor. Amen. It's undeserved. It's unwarranted. You know, that saves us. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let me say something here. It doesn't take works to get salvation, but once I'm saved, works follow. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead being alone. It wasn't my works that saved me, but out of salvation, now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now I'm following and answering the call of God on my life because he's given me a gift. Or more than one gift that's for the benefit of someone else. How many know that the gifts that God gave you, the spiritual gifts that he gave you, aren't for your benefit? Since they're not for our benefit, he says, don't get so headstrong or high-minded because I'm using you, because you're a vessel to be used for his glory and for his honor.
Amen.
So it requires for us to remain humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time, says the word of God. But tonight I want to talk to you about the grace of God that he pours out on us, not in necessarily the gifts of the Spirit, but the manifestation of the favor of God on our life. First, we have the manifestation in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Apostle Paul says to the church of Corinth, he says, for you know the grace of our, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He was rich, but he became poor, so through his poverty we can become rich. And richness doesn't necessarily mean wealth and money. I don't know, health and well-being is very, very important.
Yes.
The fruits of spirit that are evident in our life is valuable and important for us.
Yes, they are.
You know, so many times that people think that prosperity is money, but he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen.
Right. Amen? So with that in mind, we have, secondly, the measure in 2 Corinthians 12. Some scriptures I use a lot because they speak really loud. And when you have a loud teacher or a loud preacher, you need the scripture to speak louder. Mm-hmm. I'm happy I'm a soft-spoken man.
Amen.
Amen. I know everybody's asking the Lord, why didn't they give them a mic? The mic's to record it for the website, okay? Verse number 9, the Apostle Paul says, the Word of God says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, for me to have God's strength, I have to recognize that I have a weakness. Because most of the time, if I don't recognize that I have a weakness, I end up butting heads with them versus submitting to him.
That's right.
Hello?
Absolutely.
So he says to us, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. So we find the manifestation, we have the minister, the measure. Now let's have the ministry in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 12. The apostle writes to his student Timothy. I love the letters to the students.
Yes.
Amen. Because we're all studying to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
You know, you're here because you're a disciple. That's why God brought you here, because he's called you and anointed you and appointed you for a time such as now. Amen. And we're getting ready to storm the gates of hell and take back some things that belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. And God is equipping us to be ready to take on what's coming. Amen. Because we are victorious. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. But the Apostle Paul writes to his student Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. How many know that, moreover, the Word of God says, moreover, it's required as stewards that a man be found faithful.
Yes.
Amen. And we find the Apostle Paul says, he saw in this scripture, he says, when he was Saul, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. In other words, when Apostle Paul became a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we said old things was passed away, behold, all things become new, God didn't hold him account for the ugly man he was before. He was a martyr. He had Christians killed.
Yeah.
Amen. And why I'm saying this is because no matter what your past is, God cleans your slate. He gives you a do-over. Hallelujah. Amen. And what the adversary tries to do constantly is to bring up your past. Amen. And he's the liar and the father of all lies. Just like the Apostle Paul, God wiped that off as his account. And not only that, he made him an apostle.
Yes.
Now, the Bible says I think in a situation, I don't know whether to go here or not. Maybe I will go here. Yeah, maybe I'll go here. when Judas betrayed and killed himself, he was replaced by Matthias. But he was replaced by the disciples. They voted him in, and they brought Matthias. But you never see Matthias' name mentioned again in the Bible. He was only mentioned the one time where they voted him in. Search your Bible book. He's never mentioned again. There is never an apostolic act that Matthias did. The 12th apostle, I believe my heart, was the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And then Christ appointed him and met him on the road to Damascus.
That's right.
Amen. And Christ called him and anointed him like he did the other 11.
That's right.
Amen? But we'll find in the Bible, there's probably, we'll talk about this a little bit next week when we get into the apostles. There's 25 or so apostles named in the Bible. But they're different measures in different places.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Are you with me?
Yeah.
So he said, and the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief.
Yeah.
The Lord told me that, wait a minute. I have to take that back. Yes, Matthias was an apostle because it says in the Bible that he was apostle and he was voted into the apostle, but he wasn't to the magnitude of the Apostle Paul. I have to correct myself. The Holy Spirit said, straighten yourself out. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't want anybody confused.
Amen.
Because where there's confusion, there's every evil work. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So, he says, if his name was mentioned, his name was mentioned in the Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I better get out of that court.
Well, it says that he was with them with Christ.
Right.
You know, for a very long time, the two men that they were residing with.
Right.
He said they were.
Yeah. But again, it says so that one. But that's okay. Not neither here nor there. So never went there.
You're right. It never is mentioned after.
No. It's just mentioned at one time. But that's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right. So first, we find. Secondly, I better move on. His greatness. You know, we sang songs tonight. Every song is about the greatness of God.
Yep.
You know, one of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart about is so many times we have a tendency to magnify the circumstance or magnify the situation or magnify the problem. And what he says, he is greater than anything that we're facing. No matter what we're going through, he says every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Okay, so when we're looking at this, his greatness for posture. I have John 16. You ever see sometimes when you think that you have a profound statement that it's not a profound at all?
You thought that's the problem.
Hello?
You thought that was the problem.
Poor pastor. Well, no poor pastor. You know, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
This has been one of those evenings where everything that could go wrong went wrong. Thank you for your honey, for your perseverance. John 16:33. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He didn't say perhaps. He didn't say maybe. He said, in the world you're going to have some tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And since he overcame, I can overcome through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen.
Amen. His strength is, we just read it, where the Apostle Paul said, his strength is made perfect in my weakness.
Yes.
Amen. To help the church that you're going to go on a hayride as a child of God would be deception. Most of the time you're going on a hayride, but the wagon's on fire. All right, and you're going through the fiery trials that come on the hayride. Okay, amen. But know this: that the trial of your faith works patience, and patience brings you experience, and experience gives you hope, and hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So for praise, and Psalms 145. Verse number 2, he says, "Every day will I bless thee, and I'll praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works." What has the Lord done for you? How many has a testimony of something the Lord's done in your life? Amen? You know, the Bible says we overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And one of the things the Lord has reminded me, he wants to remind you. When you're going through a battle, rehearse your previous victory. Amen? And if you rehearse your previous victory will begin to trump the trial that you're facing. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? That was for someone. Amen? Amen? So he says to us that for provision in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus said, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So we find, amen, his greatness for posture, for praise, for position. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power. Amen? So thirdly tonight, his gifts, and the gifts that I'm speaking about aren't the gifts of the Spirit, but they're just gifts that Jesus bestows on everyone. You know, when we're going through the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, he gave some this and some that. But these gifts of grace are bestowed upon everyone. One of the gifts that he gives to everyone is the rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So he gives us rest. He also gives us the keys. I love the keys. I love the keys to the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 16. Verse number 19. Jesus said, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In other words, God gave us authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have kingdom keys. Yes. We have kingdom keys to unlock, and we have keys to lock and unlock. Amen. He also says that he's given us the power in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse number 19. He says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Wait a minute. He didn't stop there. He said, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Amen. In other words, don't let it go to your head.
That's
right. Amen. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Amen. And all of a sudden when pride comes in, we think that we can do it without him. Guess what?
We can't.
We can't. Amen. So then he says to us, he gives us the water. John 4. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well of Samaria. He said in verse 13, he said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, when I think about water springing up, Now, if you've got a spring that's springing up, guess what comes out?
Water.
A lot of water. It's springing up. Mm-hmm. And God has given us the water of the Spirit within. But yes. God wants us to pour that water out in a dry and thirsty land.
That's right.
Amen. There's a dry and thirsty nation, and they're looking for the answer. And we have the answer. His name is Jesus. And he uses and brings in the water of life that refreshes and restores and renews the soul.
That's right.
Amen. He said, all souls are mine, saith the Lord.
That's it.
Amen.
Everything.
He is, until the trumpet sounds, we're still in the soul winning business. In other words, he gives us water with the bread. He also gives us, with the water, he gives us some bread. John 6, chapter 51. John 6. Jesus said this. We take the bread, when we take communion, we break the bread, and we dine on the broken body of Jesus. Do we not?
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And what Jesus is saying, he isn't telling us to be flesh eaters. Amen. He's telling us to partake of what he has paid. He gave his flesh on the cross of Calvary. He died for you and I. Amen. And he is the bread that brings life. He is the water that refreshes our soul. How many know that you can live for a good long time on just bread and water?
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
It may not be your best favorite meal after a while. Amen. But he brings us the life in John chapter 10. Verse number 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Lord showed me that in a picture one time. I'm in the hand of the Lord. And when the adversary tries to get me, he closes the hand.
Yeah.
But many don't understand that God gave me a free will.
Yes, he did.
I can walk out of his hand if I choose to.
That's right.
He will not hold me if I don't want to.
Right.
He has given us a free will. He isn't going to make anybody do anything. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, how could they do what they're doing now? Because they walked out of the hand of God.
That's it.
Amen. He didn't kick them out. They walked out. Because he gave everyone a free will.
Yes.
Guess what? God isn't going to make any of us do anything, but he shows us the way when we do it and the way when we don't. And if you believe in the way that you do it's right, you got to believe in what's going to happen the way that it don't. It works the same way. Amen?
Amen.
What I love about the Lord is the next one, the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding. And John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord is saying to us that he's given us the rest, the keys to heaven, the power to overcome, water and bread for life, the life of God that flows from the throne, and the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding that guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of benefits. Amen? Then he starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit when he goes into the gifts that he poured out on each and every one of us and the gifts, and we're not going there tonight. But we're also going to look at, in closing tonight, it's all about his glory. I love what the word says in Revelation chapter 5. Verse number 12. This is around the throne of God in heaven. Amen. saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Amen. I don't know about you. We can't outgive Him. He's given you and I so much. So I don't know about you. To me, it seems like if they're worshiping Him around the throne of heaven for what He's done, we ought to be worshiping Him here in the earth. Amen. That nobody should be even guessing who we are. We should be walking in the light as He is in the light. We should have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse us from our sin. Amen. How are we going to walk this walk? We're going to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. God didn't create us to bear the burdens of the world. He's our burden bearer. Guess what? Every time we try to bear the burden, what happens? Come on. What happens when I try to carry it myself? What happens? What happens? All of a sudden I get worn out. All of a sudden there's a sickness that comes, or something comes and attacks me because I'm trying to do it in my own power and in my own strength. And God didn't create me to be independent. He created me to be dependable, and we need to depend on Him. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. We changed the word, not independence, but independence.
Right.
Not independent, but independence. Amen?
Yeah.
Can we all just stand?
Right. You're depending on God. Independence.
Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you're sitting here to accomplish something in every heart and every life, Father God. May we recognize and understand that every last one of us is called by your name. That you have a plan and you have a purpose for every life. So, Father God, I bind every lie of the adversary right now. I bind every lie he's trying to speak to steal the value and to steal the worth of your children. May they recognize and realize that they have great value and great worth, not only to the kingdom of God, not only to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, but to the body of Christ.
Yes.
So, Father God, I bind every lie the adversary is trying to sow. He comes to sow discord and discouragement, but we speak words of encouragement. Your word says the prophecy comes forth to edify, to exhort, and to comfort the hearers, Father God.
That's right.
Lord, as we look at your word tonight, we pray that we're comforted, that we're strengthened in your power and might.
Yes, Lord.
And when all is said and done, all glory, honor, and praise will be unto you. So be with us this week, Father God. Help us to invite somebody to come with us Sunday to church. Father God, you're all about souls. And have your way in our hearts and lives. Father, we send your word out to our family members and loved ones, Father God, those that are struggling, those that are battling, Father God. May they recognize that the only answer is through you. Not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Your word declares that no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. Father, draw them to you, Father God. And may we be the answer, and answer your gospel to them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Love one another.